So the reading is in two parts, and it's starting at John chapter 6, verse 25. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. You are looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth. It is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "from now on, give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." I'm continuing at verse 48. "I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Ask Andy. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Elaine. It'd be nice to keep John 6 open in front of you.
Better. Good. It'd be great to keep John 6 open in front of you. I'm going to pray. Pray for us now as we listen to God speak to us through his word. Heavenly Father, we do pray that you would you'd feed us this morning. You'd feed us and you'd nourish us with who Jesus is, and you'd nourish us through his word, and you'd feed us and you'd make us healthy in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you're just joining us this morning, we've been working our way through the Lord's Prayer over the summer, phrase by phrase. And when we listen to Jesus' teaching on the Lord's Prayer, a Copernican revolution takes place. Now, you're thinking, what's a Copernican revolution? Well, look, I think I mentioned it before, but until the 16th century, everybody thought that the sun, the universe, rotated around the earth. And it wasn't until a guy called Copernicus in 1530 demonstrated, actually, the universe doesn't revolve around the earth, but the earth revolves around the sun. That the earth isn't the centre of the universe. We revolve around something greater, around the sun. And when we listen to Jesus' teaching on the Lord's Prayer, that kind of revolution happens for us. Because so often our prayers, when we pray, or when we kind of share our prayer requests, they can be just all about ourselves. Of course, it's good to pray for our own needs, as we're going to look at this morning, and has been wonderful to pray for Emma. But Jesus' teaching on prayer puts all of those needs in the context of who God is. And so that our lives and our prayers revolve around him and his concerns. And that's really refreshing. It's how we were made to be. It's how the world and the universe was created to be. And we've seen that, haven't we, as we've gone along. Jesus has first taught us to say, our Father in heaven. It begins with God. And he reminds us that God is our Father. And that we can have delight and joy in speaking to our Father, who has adopted us as his very own children through Christ. That he's our perfect Father, and we can call him Dad. And we're not praying to some remote deity, but a Father who loves us and cares about us. And then Jesus has taught that our first three priorities in prayer are all about praying for the Father's glory. So hallowed be your name, a concern for God's reputation in our lives and the lives of those we know. Your kingdom come, a prayer that the Father's kingdom would grow as men and women come to Christ. And ultimately, as Jesus returns, last week, your will be done. Your will be done. May you be working out your purposes in our lives. So Jesus begins by saying, actually, if this is a model for how we're to pray, then our prayers are centered upon God and his concerns and his glory. And then as we move into the second half of the Lord's Prayer, we get these three requests, which are all about us humbly depending upon the Father for what we need. Praying for his glory and then humbly depending upon him for what we need. And Jesus tells us what we need. Jesus says that we need to be kept safe from evil and temptation and sin. Jesus says that we need to enjoy forgiveness with God and to be forgiving others. And this morning, that we're to depend upon God for everything. So this morning we're looking at give us today our daily bread. And that means two things. And the first thing it means is simply this. We are to ask God to meet our daily physical needs. Let's have that up on the screen if that's all right, Abby. So when we're praying, give us today our daily bread, we are asking God to meet our daily physical needs. Give us today our daily bread. Now, bread, when Jesus speaks about bread, it is literally the word bread. Jesus is envisioning God providing food for his people, food that keeps us alive. So we can say that Jesus is saying that we should pray that God will meet our physical needs to keep us alive in his world. Food, drink, yes, income, housing, shelter, relationships, energy. All of these come under that request that God will give us our daily breads. And the emphasis, isn't it, is on today. Give us today our daily breads. Jesus is picturing his people praying along those lines each day. Sort of waking up in the morning, looking to the day ahead, and saying, Father, please give me what I need today to live and survive in your world. Praying that throughout the day, that God would meet our physical needs for life. Now, I guess two big truths stand behind that request, don't they? We can pray that Because first of all, we know that God is a generous Father who provides for his people. God is a generous Father who provides for his people. We know that he's completely sovereign. He rules over everything. Psalm 24, verse 1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." God is completely sovereign. He owns everything, all the resources. And he loves to provide for his people. A little later in Matthew, just after Jesus has spoken on the Lord's Prayer, in Matthew 7, Jesus goes on to say, look, you dads in the crowd, you dads, you know, if your kid asks you for some bread, you're not going to give them a stone. If your kid asks you for some fish to eat, you're not going to give them a snake. Jesus goes on to say, look, you know how to give good gifts to your kids, even though you're evil, says Jesus. So how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? You know, we know that God is a God who loves us. He's made us his children. And he loves to provide for his children, as any good dad loves to provide for their kids. And the second truth is about us. That we, as Christians, are God's children. He's adopted us. And we are completely dependent upon him. We're not just his children, but we're his creatures. He's made us. And we are completely dependent upon our sovereign Father for absolutely everything. And so as we pray this prayer, give us today what we need to live in your world, Father, we are learning as his children to trust him each day. And I guess the clearest example of that in the Bible, I assume that Jesus has this in mind, is the Israelites in the desert, back in Exodus 16. Remember when God had freed his people from slavery in Egypt through the Passover and through the waters of the Red Sea, and they were on the journey to the promised land of Canaan, and they were in the deserts. And there was no food, and they were grumbling because there was no food. And what does God do? Well, he provides for them. We read in Exodus 16, verse 13, that after they cry out to God for food, what happens? That evening, quail. It wasn't kale. Nobody likes kale. That evening, quail came and covered the camp. And in the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. And when the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "What is it?" For they didn't know what it was. And Moses said to them, "It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat." And they're to gather as much as they need. God provides for his people with bread. And he does that each day in the desert for his people. Could have, you know, given them a week's worth of bread. Could have given them a month's worth of bread. But no, what he does, he provides each day for them. He provides daily bread for them. And they do that for their entire journey, those 40 years to the promised land. The Israelites ate manna for 40 years until they came out to a land that was settled. They ate manna until they reached the border of Canaan. God provides for his people in the desert bread each day so that they trust him. They learn to trust him for their daily bread, their provision, their life in the desert. And just like them, just like those Israelites, as God's people now, we're to ask that God meets our daily physical needs. That we learn to trust him each day, just as Israel did in the wilderness. I'm sure you could think of lots of examples of God providing for his people. I can think of one particularly clear example in our life. It was when I was at Bible college and I'd done 3 years there and we were considering doing a fourth year. And the Church of England doesn't pay you to do a fourth year, doesn't fund you for a fourth year. And so Annie and I, we were thinking, well, you know, what should we do? Should we, you know, can we afford it? Because we've got to self-fund. You know, it's in London, there's tuition fees. The London rent for a two-bed flat at that time was 15,000 a year, minimum. Could we do it? So we prayed about it. 2 days later, somebody knew we were considering it. 2 days later, somebody rang up and says, I would like to give you 20,000 to do a fourth year. You could speak to Kieran and Laura about the many ways in which God had provided for them over the years of running the bookshop and the cafe. You could read and use the Open Doors prayer diary. We support Open Doors, an organisation that works with the persecuted church. And read of the many ways in which God daily provides for his persecuted people around the world with shelter and food. Maybe you can think of your own testimony. God provides for his people. He loves to do that as a father. But actually, we get a bit of a problem with it, don't we? Because we think, well, all right, daily bread. You know, I can ask God to provide in the moments of crisis, when we're in financial need, but actually when we're not, you know, there's Tesco's, that's where I get my daily bread, and there's a spa around the corner. I've got an income. Maybe you're relying on your pension. It doesn't seem that I need to, you know, I don't seem to need to provide, to ask God to provide each day. It just seems a bit strange, doesn't it? Because, you know, I generally get food delivered to my door, or it's freely available. It's fine for those living hand to mouth, or, you know, the subsistent farmers of Jesus' day, or the disciples on the road with him. Do we really need to pray this? But actually, when we think like that, and when we feel like that, what is that doing? That's exposing, isn't it, our pride. Our thinking that we are self-dependent, that we are independent and self-made. And what we need to do, we need to trace things back and think, yeah, Psalm 24, everything in the world is the Lord's. Everything is his. Got a little children's book. I always forget to bring things up to the front with me. A little children's book that just helps us to do that. It's a little delightful children's book called Eric Says Thanks. Okay? And it's a powerful lesson for grown-ups, because Eric, he gets up in the morning and he wants to say thank you for his toast. He loves his toast in the morning. So he says, Mum, thanks for the toast. His mum says, well, you don't need to thank me. You know, I didn't make the bread. You need to go and thank the baker. So he goes off to the baker and he says, thanks for the bread, Mr. Baker. He says, well, don't thank me. Thank the delivery man who delivered the flour for the bread. He goes to the delivery man, don't thank me, thank the miller. Goes to the miller, don't thank me, thank the farmer. Goes to the farmer. Farmer says, don't thank me. Thank the Lord who sent the rain and made the crops to grow. Delightful little children's story, but actually it's a powerful lesson for us all, isn't it? Every single day, the food that we get is because God has provided by sending rain and by providing people to make the food, by sustaining our very lives. Everything comes from the Father. And so to pray each day, give us today our daily bread, that is incredibly good for us because it humbles us. And it reminds us that we are not independent. And we're not self-made. We are dependent creatures on a generous Father who's made us his children. So we're to pray to remind us. And notice as well, it is daily bread. Daily bread. It's not champagne and caviar. Jesus said, ask God to meet your needs, not all your wants. And Proverbs 30. Let's have Proverbs 30 up on the screen. Proverbs 30 says this, give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. We're to pray for what we need and pray that God will give us what we need, not necessarily all that we want. Do you see the difference in tone, the difference in emphasis? Lord, would you give me that job, that relationship, that whatever it is? To actually praying, please give me what you think I need. Please give me the income that I need. Please give me the shelter, the relationships that I need. Please give me the energy that I need this day. So we're to ask God to pray. We're to ask God to give us our daily bread. And that means to ask God to meet our daily physical needs. But we're also to ask God to meet our daily spiritual needs too. It's more than physical. It's not less than that, but it is more than that. And Jesus knows that. And Jesus knows that he is the fulfillment of the Father's provision of bread and manna. Back in Matthew 4, he's already quoted Deuteronomy 8, which says, "Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of my Father." Physical bread is not enough for Jesus' people. So if you've still got John 6 open, have a look at John 6. Because there, Jesus has just fed 5,000 people with physical food. He's fed 5,000 people with physical bread and physical fish. And the Jews are concerned with that bread. And they'd love a bit more of that. Have a look at verse 30. So they asked him, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do, Jesus? Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." In other words, hint, hint, Jesus, we'd like a bit more of that manna. We'd like a bit more of that physical bread you've just fed us with. Jesus goes on, verse 32. "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it's my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And Jesus is going on to say, look, I am that bread that comes down from heaven, who gives life to the world. Not just physical life, but eternal life. Verse 35, "I am the bread of life," Jesus declares. "And whoever comes to me will never, eternally, never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Or again, over in verse 48, "I am the bread of life. Your ancestors, they ate manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here, with me, is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever." So when we pray, "Give us today our daily bread," we are not just asking God to meet our physical needs, we're asking God to meet all our spiritual needs too in Christ. Because he is the living bread, the bread that gives life forever. And so we are to pray that we'd feed on him and be satisfied with him. How then do we feed on Jesus as our daily bread, the one who gives satisfying eternal life? Well, verse 29 tells us, we believe. Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." Or verse 35, "Whoever comes to me," would be those who come to Jesus and each day. Or verse 40, where is verse 40? Those who look to Jesus, look to the Son, verse 40. "For my Father's words, that everyone who looks to the Son." So we're to feed on Jesus by believing, by coming to him, by looking to him. And when we pray, "God, give me today my daily bread," we're praying that we would do that. That this will be a day when we look to Jesus, when we come to him, when we find satisfaction in him and the life that he offers. Prayer that we wouldn't look to ourselves and our own achievements in the day ahead for life with God. A prayer that we'd find Jesus satisfying and not all the trinkets of the world. It's a prayer that we believe and trust in our hearts, not simply our heads. That every promise that Jesus has made is true and has been kept through his death and resurrection. So we're to pray that we have our spiritual needs met in Christ each day. Just as a little later, we're going to hopefully, some of us are going to feed, well, hopefully we're all going to have lunch, but some of us are going to have lunch together. And just as we feed on that bread to give us the physical health and life that we need for the rest of the day, we're to feed on Jesus each day, to come to him for our spiritual life, Each and every day, not a one-time thing, but each day. And we're to pray the Father would enable us to do that. Well, what does that look like then? What does that look like in practice to pray those things? Let me end with some examples. What does it look like to pray in practice? Give me today my daily bread. Give us today our daily breads. What does it look like when everything is up in the air for you? When there are big decisions to be made. When life feels like it's in turmoil, where there's job uncertainty, or there's health scares, or there's life changes, new family, new school. What does it look like to pray this prayer then? It's to say, Father, please today would you provide for what I need. In all the uncertainty, I don't know what's going to happen, but please provide for me today with the job that I need, the income that I need, the relationship that I need. You know, Father, better than I do. So please provide for me in the way that you see best. Please give me a wisdom to make a decision that honours you. Please provide me with that wisdom. Father, the future seems so uncertain. Those test results aren't what I wanted. Please heal me, if that's your will. But please keep me feeding on Jesus and trusting him this day. Would I not be trusting in my health or my work or my relationships? Keep me feeding on Jesus today. What about when everything is just the same? And life is just quite normal, quite ordinary, and nothing seems to change. When we feel quite comfortable. Well, it's to pray, isn't it? Father, everything I have comes from you. I thank you for my family, for my job, for my church family, for my relationships. These are all gifts from you, and I thank you for them. Please help me never to forget that they come from you. Keep providing for me. Please would you give me the emotional energy I need today to love those around me well, those in my family, those in my connect group. Please would you help me to know today that I live today as one of your beloved children. Keep me consciously delighting in you today, Father, through Jesus. What does it look like to pray for our church family? Notice it's give us, plural, today our daily bread. Well, it means praying for our need, for our physical needs as a church family. For the technology, for the sounds. Praying that God would provide people to serve in church life. Praying, and I hope we do this regularly, praying regularly about our finances and our buildings, that God will provide what we need to serve him in this place. The physical things we need to do his work and to gather as his people. It's praying for us, isn't it? That we'd spiritually, as a church family, not just as individuals, but as a church family, have our spiritual needs all met in Christ. That we wouldn't be, as a church family, depending on ourselves. That we'd be a prayerful church family, seeing God to grow the work here amongst us at St. Simon's. Praying that we have a spirit that commits us to gather together. That praying that as you come on a Sunday or you go to your connect group, that God feeds you through his word and through Christ. What does it mean to pray for Afghanistan and for Christians in Afghanistan, this prayer? Pastors who, I'm told by reliable websites, Gospel Coalition, pastors who received letters last week saying from the Taliban, saying, we know who you are and we know where you live and we're coming for you. What does it mean to pray for brothers and sisters in that situation, this prayer? Well, it's to pray that they find safety, that they find shelter, safe passage, that they're provided for their physical needs, that they have the food and the water. Praying for them to have all their spiritual needs met in Christ, that they remain faithful to Christ, even in the face of suffering. Praying that they'd even die well for Christ without rejecting him. And that God would keep them and hold them. Will we make that our prayer this week? We'll make that our prayer this week. For ourselves, for our church family, for mission partners, for those, the persecuted church. That God would give us our daily bread. That he'd meet our physical needs and he'd meet all our spiritual needs in Christ. He'd keep us and he'd sustain us. You can do that as you pray the Lord's Prayer. If you're not in the habit of praying, start by saying the Lord's Prayer every day. Slowly, conscious of what each line means. Expand that prayer for those that you know. But this week, depend upon your Father to meet your physical needs and to meet all your spiritual needs in Christ. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank and we praise you that you are our Father in heaven, that you have made us your children and that you have adopted us and you have made us yours. And everything we have comes from you. The whole world belongs to you and everyone in it. And that you are a generous Father who loves to provide. So please help us to stop going around thinking that it's all about us and it all depends upon us. Help us to look to your fatherly hand each day to provide for us. To provide for us as individuals, as families, as a church family, as your people throughout the world. Please provide for what we need this day. Please keep us in Christ. Please keep us feeding on him and satisfied in him each day. Again, we pray that for ourselves, for our families, for our church family. For our mission partners and for brothers and sisters in Afghanistan. Keep us and provide for us in Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Well, we're going to continue to pray now as Mike comes and continues to lead us. Thanks, Mike.